join the more than 100,000 Browns fans who are registered members of the Browns Backers Worldwide Fan Club, receive merchandise discounts, special event invitations, and exclusive VIP experiences. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com to learn more. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, right here on our usual date with you between 1 and 3 p.m. Cleveland Browns Daily, isn't it?
It's a nice little date.
Because I bring up the fact that people call us and they're not always guys. 216-578-0850. As I think we will find out right now with, is it Lori from Stowe?
It is.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, guys. I really disagree with Nathan and to some extent, Vic, in that you're thinking about if we had this guy, if we had that guy, this, that would happen. How did the Browns lose their last three games? They were capable of winning it. They were capable of winning other games, too. What they need comes from within. It is that winning culture. That has got to be. How else do you explain Bobby Rainey running off like a maniac for whatever team he's on now? And how do you explain Kansas City? It's a culture that comes from within. What should have happened was after Baltimore, the Browns' finest hour this season, what should have been done is, yeah, guys could have gone off and taken off like they did, but I think it was up to Chud to say, okay, you guys, we've got something special starting here. We can't let it get away. Now, who wants to volunteer to stay here and we'll work on all those things we need to work on so we will beat Cincinnati? They started out beating them, even though they did go all over the place. And then from that point on, they lost it, and it was evident in every game played thus far. If they could only win these next two games, that could start out a culture of winning. But you need someone to inspire the team. I don't know if anybody saw A Football Life, Marty Schottenheimer, last night. This man could teach and he could inspire. The Browns need to have someone.
Okay. Lori, thank you for your call, and I appreciate the fact that you're pointing out, first of all, something that does matter, but I'm not going to assume that that didn't happen. The thing that you said, Rob Jedzinski, because of the result, if he did it, well, it didn't necessarily work, but I think he was very much in tune with, hey, we can build on this. Now, some coaches are better at inspiring than others. I can't speak. There's no way you can really say unequivocally what you know about a guy's ability, a coach's ability to inspire his team other than what you see on the field, because you're not in the locker room at those moments or those practice points where you could tell, or those meeting room things. I mean, a lot of that happens out of our sight, and everybody's got a different way of going about it.
But they've come out good. In these games they've lost, they've been ahead in the fourth quarter. So it's not that they got off to the sluggish starts and had to recover. They came out and played very, very well in these games. So I think that obviously they're fired up. They just haven't sealed the deal. And certainly if you have – I do believe that improved talent makes for a better situation all the way around. So, obviously you'd like to have seen the Browns go to a completely different direction. If you were listening to this show when they were going in that bye week, I'd say we were as optimistic and fired up as you could possibly be. And now we're dealing with a reality of a situation that is not as glorious as it once was. But I think Rob Chudzinski's done a good job given the turmoil he's had. We went back to the stat earlier about the teams that have started multiple quarterbacks, and really outside of the Chicago Bears, nobody has had success, and the Philadelphia Eagles, but that was, Michael Vick got hurt, Foles came in, and he's been brilliant. Nobody's really had a situation, certainly not with three quarterbacks, where it's worked out very, very well. Look at Green Bay. They've struggled mightily. Yes, they had the unbelievable win, but that was their first win since they've lost Aaron Rodgers.
And this culture of winning thing, which a lot of people refer to, I buy that the least. It's an overblown, overhyped term that you build a culture of winning. You win, and then the culture is built. And I don't think it's because if you set out to build it like it's something to be constructed, because I think it's just become a buzz term that, well, you can build this culture of winning. He's going to come in here as a coach and instill that. Hey, every coach gets his, that period of a honeymoon, and I'm not talking about fans and media. I'm talking about the players. They'll listen to what this guy has. They want to see what the plan is. Is he putting them in the best position to win? If they believe he knows what he's doing, because they feel by scheme and by how adjustments are made that they're in the best position to succeed, then they will buy into that, and your culture is in good shape. But I don't think the culture is built until you actually win. And that is why that is lacking here. Lori's right that, you know, you want to see the culture of winning, but it's not something that is inspired, I don't think, by the emotional Newt Rockne speech, or she referenced Marty Schottenheimer.
It's also a different era for these players.
Yeah, and exactly. They are, that is very true. In terms of mindset of talent and athletes, what they go through to prepare, which is so different than old school NFL, and I mean old school of like 20 years ago or even maybe even 10 years ago, but it's happened within about the last 10 years where personal trainers, special attention to diet, your own meals being prepared for you separately from what you're fed by the team. A lot of players have that food brought into them because they're on specific diets that nutritionists advise them accordingly of outside of the team, because they're performers. Their bodies are their careers, and these guys are conditioned and trained physically and mentally year-round. They're such, in many cases, finely tuned machines that really all that's left for them once they're with the team is to be put in that scheme and to learn and to grow and develop as football players. In the, you know, you talk about the culture of the NFL, but the winning versus losing, you know, all of that happens. And look, at the end of this year, right now, you got players in that locker room who no doubt have doubts about what they're a part of. They can't like this. They don't know if they see a light at the end of the tunnel. They live in the here and now. They were right. All this conditioning and proper eating and everything I'm talking about, that was done for success in 2013. It didn't happen for these guys. So until you get, you know, you turn the calendar and start preparing for 2014, that's when they'll say, well, maybe we'll get it here, but there isn't going to be a guy who's going to walk out of here with a straight face and say, yep, I love what we're doing. I love where we're going. You don't know.
No, you don't know, and that's a big part of the problem, I think. But at the same time, the culture of winning comes from winning, and next year is going to be an entirely different culture for this Cleveland Browns team, hopefully, than what you have this year, regardless of how these two games finish.
Right.
And a lot of the guys on the roster are going to be different. There are going to be new faces here that are going to bring their own take on what's going on here and their own take of winning, et cetera. So it is, you want to see wins. I would have wanted to see them a few weeks ago, and then I'd care a lot more about getting them these last two games.
Sure.
But I don't think, I'll say this. I think what happens in these last two games, if they go 2-0, 0-2, 1-1, has absolutely no bearing on the record of the Cleveland Browns in 2014.
Correct.
That's my belief.
I think you're right. James in Alabama joins us, 216-578-0850. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, bro.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, love the spirited debate earlier. That was good stuff.
Isn't that fun? I mean, seriously, isn't it fun? And we hugged it out. We love each other. But we can have spirited debates.
You didn't channel the macho man on you there, Vic.
That's right.
Well, that's the thing, and I was tempted to call him in, but here's the problem with that.
Who called down the thunder, Notorious V.I.C.? Yeah, you're lucky I'm occupied up in the heavens, or I'd have dropped the elbow for besmirching the good name of Nathan Segura with your nonsense. You were wrong.
That's what I was worried about. But I've got a guy, by the way. I've got a guy. He's alive. You know, we have to go up to the big ring in the sky to get Nathan's guy.
Yeah.
My guy, and I'm not bringing
him out.
Are
you about to do an impression?
I'm not bringing him out today. His name's Billy Bob. And I'm bringing him on maybe next week. I'll have to see. God. Billy Bob is going to come up. Billy Bob's a listener.
We cannot wait for the debut of Billy
Bob.
Wait
till you hear from Billy Bob. He has a favorite saying. You know what his saying is?
What?
How do you sleep at night? That's what Billy Bob says. I'll give you a little more later on, but that's exactly how he says it, and he will join us.
Oh, my.
I'm sorry, James. We got off course here.
No, it's all good. I live down here in Alabama. I'm originally from Youngstown.
There's a couple Billy Bobs there.
So it's nice to actually get a little taste of home every now and again, and I listen to your show constantly when I'm off work. But I love the debate because I think it's easy to get enamored with these guys coming out of college. And I tend to side, sorry, Nathan, with Vic on this
a little bit.
You got Ryan Mallett sitting out there. You got Ryan Mallett sitting out there as trade bait. Now you got Kirk Cousins. Why not go in that direction with a guy who you actually have some film on from preseasons and
But the real question to me is, do you know what they're going to do? Because I'm pretty sure Matt Flynn had the best game that a quarterback's ever had in the history of the Green Bay Packers organization, and that has not worked out for multiple teams. So I think that comes – Kevin Cobb, we've seen guys come from good situations.
Out in on personnel, though.
What?
I think Lombardi's pretty dialed in on personnel. I like him a lot.
I do, too, and I think he's good. And I said yesterday, actually, that I would not be opposed to making a move for a guy like Kirk Cousins. And I actually like Ryan Mallett as well out of Arkansas. You know, if that's the direction that they decide to go, I think you can do that and maybe maneuver in the first round to either go down, because at that point you don't need to be where you were for a quarterback. You can probably go down and still get a Sammy Watkins as a wide receiver, pick up a second, and then that way you still have the exact same number of picks. You've got the quarterback as well, right, and you can keep going with the draft. I'm not against that at all. And I would consider those guys in many ways, even though they're not rookies, to be – Ryan Mallett hasn't started a game in the NFL. I mean, it's very similar to playing – you know, practicing versus playing, I think, are big differences.
Yeah, he's. I think Ryan Mallett, though, has had. I'm not going to make a strong. I don't want to even try to make a stronger case for him than I would for Kirk Cousins, which I made earlier, and I do want to say something about that. But Mallett, to me, is very similar to Brian Hoyer in terms of the background. He's observing and learning from one of the very best, and if not the best, in Tom Brady, and absorbing within that Patriot system, which I think helped tremendously with Brian Hoyer. It served him beautifully in the short time that we got to see him. With regard to Cousins, I loved him coming out of college. So I was enamored with him coming out of Michigan State, studied him really closely, and felt that he had a lot of the ingredients, components that I would have wanted in a quarterback. I would have loved to have seen him drafted by this team. They chose to obviously go with Brandon Whedon, but in my mind, he would have been a good guy to bring here. And I loved what Washington did with him, because they basically just got an asset. They knew they had a tradable asset, and because of how he's performed in a couple of games, one of them being here against the Browns last year, and then, of course, what he did just this past weekend, I think because of that, he's clearly helped himself, helped his stock. What kind of pick would you get for him? We'll see. I mean, obviously the Redskins are going to sit there and say, give us a first, because the limited amount of time always makes the guy a good limited appearance, as we've seen with Flynn
and others. That's one of the reasons that people are so comfortable with Ryan Hoyer.
Good limited raises your stock tremendously. Sure. The longer you play, the more your chances to lower your stock. But Kirk Cousins has the physical talent, the combination of movement, throwing ability, way he sees the field, decision-making, smarts, work ethic, all those things in the package. And what I prefer about him over a rookie, to tie in what James said, is that there's just been a little more of a test drive there that I can see, and the fact that he's been in the culture of the NFL and he spent some time now, two full seasons, all of those things I think are going to lead to him, in my mind, being more of a guy that could help a team sooner than probably most of the rookies coming out this year. That would be my take on that. There's less risk. What you try to do when you're Mike Lombardi, when you're any general manager in the NFL, is what? Mitigate risk. You're trying to minimize risk.
And I'm fine even if you make a move like that and then draft a guy Aaron Murray or Jimmy Garoppolo
later on. Yes, I agree with you. I still draft a quarterback. There's no doubt. All right, we are just getting this thing rolling along. It feels like we just got started, but we're well into the show. We're like deep into the second hour. Gerard Cherry is going to be with us in a little bit, and we'll have more sound cuts from Rob Chudzinski,
that's right.
Jason
Campbell. We'll get into that next. Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Right. All that's coming up. It's CBD, Vic and Nathan. We'll go.